time now to go to Sunday school with the professor.
So take it easy, will you?
Giants third base coach Ron Wotus with Marty Lawrence.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helfer.
On your home of Giants baseball.
Good answer. Like the way you think.
KNBR 680, the sports leader. Brought to you by River Island, one of the country's top-selling master-planned communities just across the Altamont in Lathrop. Where else can you live on a lake, next door to a park, or walking distance to your kid's new school? With 10 new neighborhoods, River Island is the one place you can't afford to miss.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Well, talking about River Islands, just hearing Tony Ryan talk about it. The weather is so good. Can you imagine living at River Islands now with all that goes on up there with this kind of weather?
Yeah, I know. And the heat when you do have these warm days, 100 degrees out in the East Bay. Today and all the water you have over there and opportunities to get on the river or on the lakes, whether you're kayaking or paddle boarding, whatever you want to do. I mean, it sounds like a nice place. I'm not looking forward to the 100-degree temperatures when I go home after the game and try to barbecue today.
No, that's going to be a little different. You got a day off tomorrow as well. I know you've got a commitment. And then Thursday, you and I, we take the act on the road. We go up to Yountville to the Priest Ranch Wine Tasting Room, and we'll be up there from 5:30 or so to 7. We're going to bring some surprises up for the fans that come up there. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yountville's a great, great little town for those people that haven't been up there. You know, you're in the heart of wine country. Of course, Priest Ranch Wines there at the tasting room. Wines are very, very good. You know, we like to have our wines here after a cool game in San Francisco. Not today because of the heat, but we do have quite a bit of wine here. Obviously, Felipe started that years ago, and it's continued forward. But that should be a fun day. Great town, great wine, and baseball conversation. So come on out if you get an opportunity. I'm looking forward to it myself.
Yeah, come on up in Yountville. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. We got we're a road show now. Come on.
Yeah, we're a road show, right?
Yeah, we're going on the road. This is going to be a lot of fun. You mentioned wine and things like that, and it made me think about Bruce Bochy. Got his 1,000th win. And you were there, obviously, for the little celebration afterwards. But he made a point, I had him on yesterday, of talking about what you did. The Bam Bam toast and blah, blah, blah. But then when you took charge of it, you got the good stuff out.
Well,
that's what he said.
Well, yeah, we talked about it, with some of the coaches, and obviously we wanted to give him a toast, and we thought about champagne. He's not a champagne drinker, so we got him some bourbon, which is his favorite bourbon, and that was very good. And then it just so happened that earlier in the day, I met with some French representatives that deal with the WBC, and I've known them for years, and they want to see my interest level at helping them in the World Baseball Classic, the qualifying round is next year. But they also brought a bottle of wine for Bochy. And for those that don't know, Bochy was born in France, and they brought a bottle of wine where it was produced from Bochy's hometown. So it was perfect for the evening. So we had the bourbon, and I opened that bottle of wine. I thought it was very fitting, wine from France where he was born as well. And we toasted him with the coaches and the trainers. And, it was a great night. It was great energy from the players. And also from the coaches and the staff, it was a great night for Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, it was. And, it made me think about you. And we did this last year. Remember we added up how many games you've been around, how many wins you've been around? Because you have, as I said, you are a fixture of this franchise. And you go back to Dusty, to Felipe, to Bruce Bochy. He's got his 1,000. You have probably your 2,500 already. And he acknowledged the coaches and the staff.
Yeah.
But his 1,000, it's amazing. But you've been around, and I say that every year to you. It's another year, the longest tenured coach in the history of Giants baseball, and you've seen a lot.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, there's no question. Look, when you have longevity in a game like Bochy has as a manager, you accomplish great things. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to I've had the time here in San Francisco that I've had, but even more importantly, to have the success that we've had, because those are the successful years, whether it's World Series or playoff years. Those are the years you never forget, whether you're a player, a coach, a manager, a fan. That's what it's all about, is winning. And we've had our share of winning here in San Francisco. And, you know, it couldn't have been a better run as far as I'm concerned. And we're just hoping that we can turn this thing around quickly and get back moving in that direction, because that's what everybody wants. They want a winner.
Well, do you follow the draft at all? Do you follow, you know, what the Giants did at all?
I looked at the press releases. It's difficult to follow that, or the Warriors, who I'd like to see, or the Sharks, or any of it, just because we're so consumed with our job. You know, there's so much information today, and it boils down to, you know, you can put as much time into this job or as little time as you want. You know, I mean, you really, there's so much stuff that you can look at video wise, information wise, to get an edge. And I don't know, I've always tried to get the edge the best way I can to win a ball game, and I always find myself doing something in baseball other than following the other, yeah, other sports.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, Longoria sort of jumped out of me this week. Number one, I thought he got a tough error last night. That ball down the line, it does a big hop and bounced out of his glove. Did that look like an ordinary play to you?
Well, it was going to be a difficult throw,
yeah,
because of where he was on the field, and a bounding ball. He had two choices: to come get it and get an in-between hop, or back up and get the easier hop. But the throw was not going to be an easy play. But when you don't, the ball doesn't stick in your glove, that's usually not considered by the official scorers, because they haven't been down there on the field and made that play. They don't know how difficult it can be. So, you know, they gave him an error. But to your point, the play he made in the shift on the second base side, going to his right, back up the middle, was a great play. I mean, here he is in the middle of the diamond. You know, now he has to dive. It's a different place to be other than third base. And, you know, all the guys move around, and I see Justin Turner. He goes over to second base on every lefty, and then he comes back over. He goes back and forth on the same guy, almost every lefty that's out there. But back to Longo. He's been playing really good defense. He's got a few errors I know he wish he didn't have, but he's been making plays all year long. I know his ratings have been very, very good defensively this year, much better than they've been last year as far as, you know, positioning, making his plays, defensive run saves. So it's nice to see him doing that, because we need that kind of defense to win games.
Yeah, no, pitching and defense. I've said it before. Pomerantz gave you the game on Friday night and kept you in the game. Samardzija kept you in the game, and then unfortunately you were losing, so the back end of the bullpen had to work, and then things got away. So that, you know, but well, you got to pitch.
That's a good point. I mean, look, Friday night was a classic Giant baseball. That, you know, what a great game, 2-1. Pom did a tremendous job bouncing back, made some adjustments, but the energy in the ballpark, even yesterday, the effort, you said it, guys grinding out at bats, that's the way we play. You know, we typically don't pound the ball to 15 to, you know, 5 in this ballpark. We got to keep the game close, pitch, and scratch for runs. And a lot of good things happened the last couple of days. It's unfortunate that we just had a breakdown in the eighth inning, and that was the difference in the game. So let's get today. You know, win the series today, and we'll feel good about that.
Yeah, come on. You can win another series. And actually, you know, you had a chance, the Marlins series, you know, 1-2. Yeah. You did win the Orioles series, and you could have won the Mets series as well. So now you got a shot to win this series. So at least you're in a position to win series.
And that's what it's all about,
yeah,
right? You know, you don't climb back into the playoff contention without winning series. You got to just, you know, the old cliches are there for a reason, because they make sense. You know, take it a day at a time. Let's win the day. Just keep winning series and see where we are in a month from now.
All right. I want to go a little bit more on Longoria. He scored on the contact play on Friday night. It was a huge run. And I know the guys who broadcasters were all over it, that it was a real baseball play. Ball was hit, I think, to the right side and maybe second base, I forget where. And he beat the throw to the plate.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that one, because he got a tremendous jump. You guys talk about it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a play you go over in spring training. So anytime you have a man on third, it happened to be second and third with the infield in. or a man on third with less than two outs, you got a decision to make. Are you gonna read the ball, make it go through the, or I should say, are you gonna make it go through the infield? Okay, so you're gonna hold and make the ball go through the infield unless you read a real high chop or a swinging bunt that the runner feels it can score. We call that reading the play, okay? Or the other option is you can be more aggressive and you're going to go on contact. That means you're going to cheat down the line. You're going to anticipate the ball down on the ground. And when that guy takes his swing, you're fighting for that lead. You're anticipating. You're actually on the move breaking towards home. Now, what makes it easier is when the third baseman is off the line a little bit. If the third baseman's close to the base, it limits your lead. So there was a left-hander up in Crawford. He was off the line a little bit, and Longo did what he was supposed to. He got further down the line. Then he anticipated the ball down, and he got a great break. And that's, his break in the third baseman off the line made that play a little bit easier for him to score. If it was a right-handed hitter and he's playing towards the bag, and we do that a lot. You know, a lot of times we play the infield in. You may play the second baseman and the first baseman and shortstop maybe halfway with a slow runner. We did it last night with Turner. Now you take the third baseman and you put him close to the base, mm-hmm. saying it's a lefty. He's not going to hit the ball out anyway. Let's keep this guy close to the base so he can't get that great jump. You know, the downside of the contact play is, and you see it a lot, a lot of times you're rolling the dice, balls hit hard right at somebody and he's dead at home plate and they're going, what are you doing? Well, you're rolling the dice. You can't wait to read where the ball is. You'll never have a chance to score. So you anticipate down, you cheat, and you break. And if it's at the guy and you're out, so be it. But a lot of times the infielder's got to move right or left. Or in this case, it was hit right at Muncy. He took his time. Yeah. Being a first baseman really by trade, you know, he took his time and didn't make a perfect throw home. And with Longo's great jump, he beat the play.
Great explanation. Now, the professor, this is why you're the professor. No, really good explanation the third baseman getting close to the runner, so it limits that big jump.
There are a lot of little things that go into that, and I thought maybe, you know, the listeners would like to hear, you know, what determines that play, and the third baseman does have a lot to do with it.
Good.
So good. I'm glad we were able to cover that.
Yeah, we'll watch that one. Okay. In the Mets series, Rosario didn't charge a ball, and I forget who beat the throw. I forget.
Was it Longo?
I think it was. He's all over our show today.
Yeah, he's running like crazy.
Really? But Rosario just laid back
as
a shortstop. And, of course, my question to you is, you got to charge the ball all the time, don't you? You just can't sit back unless the ball's a bullet hit at you.
Right. No, your game clock is your game clock. I was a little surprised on that. Maybe he didn't think Longo was as fast as he was. He did lay back on a ball. But, you know, the number one thing for a shortstop is you have to move to the ball. You don't have time to wait. Obviously, in the corners, first and third, you don't charge the ball as much unless it's hit really, really slow. You're reading the hopping. You get time to actually retreat on the ball and make a play. But at short, you don't have time very often to retreat on the ball unless it's a bullet. Most ground balls, your first movement is forward to the ball to read the hop and pick the hop that you want. He did lay back on that ball, and we got an infield hit out of
it. Yeah, it was obvious, too.
Yeah.
You know, when they showed it again. All right, let's move on to another subject. Then I want to come back to hitting the first pitch that you see.
Okay.
Because I do these stats every day, and I'll tell you right now, Walker Buehler, first, you put it in play. Now, this doesn't mean swings and misses or foul balls. You know, you're actually putting the ball in play. 8 for 20.
Right.
400. Bumgarner, first ball in play, 18 for 43. So that's like a, 350 or whatever, 400, with 3 home runs.
Yeah.
So I want to come back to that.
Sure.
And what you think about putting that first, because it seems like it's happening now and the numbers sort of support it. But before we do that, Jim Rooker. And Jim Rooker, it was a left-handed pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates and a little bit of a character, but he became a broadcaster for the Pirates. This is the 30th anniversary of a very interesting moment in his life. The Pirates are playing the Phillies, and they're playing in Philadelphia. And he's the broadcaster for the Pirates. And the Pirates end up getting 10 runs in the first inning. They're winning 10-0 against the Phillies. Well, Jim Rooker says, "We got this one, Buckos." If they don't win this game, I'm walking back to Pittsburgh. Well, you know what happens. Here come the runs. And there's a little-known player, Skip Jeltz, J-E-L-T-Z. Remember Skip Jeltz?
I don't.
No, all right. No one does. I'm not sure his family remembers him. But he ended up hitting two home runs in the game. The Phillies come back and win the game, I don't know, like 15-12. And Jim Rucker, for charity, ends up walking back to Pittsburgh, 320 miles. How about that?
Great story. Yeah, now that's fun to see. I'm sure it was there was a lot of fun being had in that moment when he spoke up like that, and then walking back. But you know, I know Jim because he was one of our broadcasters when I broke in with the Pirates back in the early '80s, and he was a character. And I remember this about him: there was one time we were on the plane. And we're flying along, we're going coast to coast, and in the middle of the flight, the plane takes a hard left and a hard right, and we're going, what the heck is going on? And I get word back from up front that Jim Rucker has been going for his pilot's license, and he was flying the plane. They let him in the cockpit, and they let him make a couple turns, I guess. We got there safe. It only lasted, you know, for a minute. But he was actually flying our planes. It's funny you bring him up because I never forgot we had one of our broadcasters flying our plane for a few minutes. So he is a character.
How about Dave Fleming? Can you put him behind?
I think Dave could handle it. I really do. Yeah, without any training or anything, I think he can go in there.
Dwayne, I'm not so sure. Very good. It's a good story. So that's Jim Rucker, and he did walk back to Pittsburgh.
He did.
320 miles for charity.
Yeah.
And he actually did it. So
good
that
for him.
I like that baseball story.
That's a great story.
Now we fast forward about 10 years, and this is the anniversary of Bobby Valentine, who is managing the Mets. And he's thrown out of the game, and he ends up putting, remember this? He puts on a disguise.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, a mustache, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And it comes back on the, where's Eddie Montague when we need him to talk about this one? But, and he comes back and wears a mustache and sits on the bench.
Yeah.
Does he think he's going to pull this off?
Yeah.
Come on, do you remember this one?
Yeah, oh, I remember. I remember seeing him. It was well televised. They had him sitting in a dugout with the disguise on, and you know, Bobby was really a character, more so than Rucker, from my opinion. He was always doing something. He was very flamboyant, wasn't afraid to speak his mind, and you know, good for him. I guess I don't know if he is such a competitor. I don't know if he was doing it to have a little bit of fun with the umpires, or if he was doing it because he really wanted to win the game and he wanted to be in that dugout. But that's a great story as well.
Yeah, what's the strangest thing you've seen? And, of course, you've been a bench coach and you've managed for so many years in the minor leagues, and you've been around this organization for, God, what, 27 years? I don't know how many years now on the major league level. But what's the craziest thing you've seen when a guy, what did Felipe or Dusty or Bochy do?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they ever took it to that level. As a matter of fact, I know they did. Nothing comes to mind. But I know one of our ex-coaches, Tim Flannery. Flann, if you're listening this morning, I hope you're doing well. I remember, the story he told where he got in a mascot's outfit. I think he was in Las Vegas, and he went back out on the field trying to help his team win as the mascot. So he can call in and tell you about that if I have the story wrong. But you know, the one I saw, I didn't see a whole lot in the major leagues, but in the minor leagues you see all kinds of it. You saw that minor league umpire once when he came out of the dugout and he crossed the third baseline and he crawled to the pitcher's mound. He was mad about a call. Oh, yeah. And he crawled like if he was going under a trip wire and in the Army, and then he took like he had a fake hand grenade. He pulled it out and he threw it on the mound. He threw it over to the umpire and really had a big scene. That's on YouTube there somewhere.
Yeah,
but that was quite the act. I remember him pulling that one off.
Yeah, it's, you know, look, it's the colorful side of baseball. You know, I like it, and you know, we need stories like that. That's what makes things happen in baseball. You know?
Well, I'll leave you with this. This wasn't too colorful, but I felt kind of bad about it when it happened. I was in A-ball, and I got in an argument with an umpire. Big argument, and back then, you know, you grew up watching Billy Martin and Errol Weaver, and you thought you had to kick dirt on these guys, and you really had to get in their face and spit on them and the whole thing. Well, I'd had problems with this umpire for 3 days, so it was a bad call or something. I went out, I let him have it, and I yelled and screamed at him. He had a difficult time with it because the next day I came to the ballpark, and he wasn't there. And I asked the other umpires, you know, where's John? And they said he quit. Wow. He said he had enough. So that's my claim to fame. I had one umpire quit on me. I guess I was too much, the straw that broke his back, and he says, I'm not putting up with all this, and I'm going to do something else with my life.
I can't see you going crazy on an umpire.
Well, I did, Marty. This was a long time ago, and I was very passionate. And like I said, that's the way you thought you were supposed to do it,
yeah.
You know, and you're a young manager coming up in the minor leagues, and that's what you saw. And, yeah, you let them have it.
When was the last time you got thrown out here?
I don't. Probably the Vogelsong pitch, okay. I think it was. It was a close pitch, and I got thrown out, said something from the dugout. Et cetera, et cetera. And I think that was the last time. Yeah.
Funny. That's it. Look, it's a part of baseball.
Yep. We,
you know, honestly, you don't see the big rhubarbs anymore.
No.
Because of replay. And it's, I've said this before. You miss seeing the manager comes out now. He's getting tossed because it's a ball strike thing.
Right.
You know, it brings up last night Peterson. Did he get hit? Didn't he get hit? This Lo Castro guy for Arizona.
Right.
He puts his arm out there.
Yes.
I've seen it. He's been up 30 times. He's been hit 10 times, right?
Yeah.
That can't be a coincidence. People doing more of this now?
Well, I think so. Joey Votto's the one. He got us in Cincinnati. He stuck his elbow out. He's been doing it for years. It's a difficult call for the umpires. You know, especially the home plate umpire to see that. And you got to really say, oh, he's trying to get hit. And, you know, you can do it subtly. Where, you know, on this one, Peterson, he turned away. I mean, it wasn't like his knee went out towards home plate a whole lot. And on the review, it was inconclusive, so the call stands. You know, you can't review. We talked about this before.
Right.
If he did it intentionally, but you can review whether he got hit or not. Mm-hmm. They said he was hit. And from what I understand, a lot of people think the ball did not hit him. And then the call stood where he got to take first base.
Yeah, it's one of those plays. But I just feel there's so much protection on the hitters that even now they're starting to turn into the pitch a little more. And I saw with the Arizona guy the other night, Lo Castro, and I thought with this guy last night he sort of turned into it a little bit. But whatever.
Well, you're right. The body armor. I know when Barry was hitting, you know, the elbow guards, you know, on your arms. People wear the shin guards. Those all have to be approved by Major League Baseball. I don't know what the rule is now, but years ago, you know, you had to have an injury, a reason to wear it. You couldn't just wear it for protection. And I don't know if they changed that rule, because you can. If you got shin guards on and, you know, elbow guards, you can hang in there a little bit longer and you don't worry about getting hit in the arm.
Yeah, different part of the game.
Yeah.
Let's take a break, but I want to ask you this. Someone asked me this question the other day, and it was kind of with all the UZR ratings and all the stuff that I know you have to go through. Sort of a Mount Rushmore of your four top defensive players that you saw play of all time. And I was thinking about it for me, and the audience can think about it too, but I want to ask you about that. A little bit about the College World Series that's going on. There's a 19-strikeout game last night for the Vanderbilt kid, a no-hitter.
Wow.
There's a play in the Michigan-UCLA game that someone's sent me an email they want me to ask you about. And then I don't know if you saw anything of the Women's College World Series. I don't know if you saw any of that.
No, I did not.
I loved it. It was great. It's baseball. It's baseball. So we got more to talk about. All right, the professor is here. It is Sunday morning, a gorgeous day. It is Madison Bumgarner today and Walker Buehler. And as I said yesterday, I think the baseball world is going to watch Madison Bumgarner today against the Dodgers, because everyone is interested in Bumgarner, where he's going to go. Is he going to go? And the thing is, if you're going to win a pennant in the National League, you got to go through L.A., and L.A. is absolutely vulnerable. Two lefties, not going to beat them all the time, but you can slow them down, and he's the one guy in the market that can do it. So we'll catch up with that and that part of the game later. But we'll take a break. Back with the professor right after this.
Now back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, nice to have you back here on this Sunday morning. Beautiful day out here at the ballpark. It really is just a gorgeous day. We'll be at the Public House at 10 o'clock today. Adam Copeland is out there. We've got our Hawaiian Airlines contest going on, and be happy to see everybody out there this morning. Hey, well, let's start with a little bit of the College World Series. Omaha now, they got games, Major League games coming to Omaha, to Williamsport. We got games in London. You're talking about WBC in France. Boy, they're just moving baseball all over the place.
Yeah, that, you know, they've been trying to do this. I remember when Manfred came on, I mean, that was a big topic of conversation. They want to expand it, you know, worldwide. I mean, that's always been part of the deal, trying to gain more interest worldwide. And I think, you know, even locally, moving these games to different locations, like you said, Omaha, here or there, is spicing up the game a little bit. So I think it's a good thing. You know, I mean, the people in Omaha will be happy to see it. And obviously in London, you don't think of London as a hotbed for baseball. But, you know, in talking to the WBC, you know, and being involved with, you know, some clinics in Europe, Holland and in France or wherever it is, you know, they need a little more PR with the baseball. It goes a long way in those other countries. So it'll help the sport.
Yeah, and the world is so connected now through social media, internet, where baseball is not as foreign as it may have been 20 years ago.
Right.
And now there's more interest in it.
Absolutely. And yeah. You're talking about the College World Series.
Yeah.
You know, my experience with that, I haven't been able to watch any of it, again, just because we're so busy here. First question I have is the no-hitter. Who drafted this pitcher? Who?
I don't think he's been drafted yet. Rich Waltz is going to be on with us at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And we got to look it up. Rooker, I think his name is, or Rocker.
Okay.
But 19 strikeouts for Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt guy, and I don't think he's drafted yet, and they won 1-0, a no-hitter last night.
Wow.
For him, and they had to win the game. Now, today, it's the third game to see who goes to the College World Series.
Wow, isn't that something, and he didn't get drafted? Well, maybe somebody will sign him after this performance.
Well, I think he's not eligible yet.
Oh, he's not. He's young. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, I remember I actually played for the Omaha Royals back in 1987.
Did you?
And, yeah, I went to camp with Kansas City to make the team as utility infielder.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was in 19. And when I left Pittsburgh, John Bowles, who was managed the Marlins, he brought me over. Invitation to Major League Camp. It was between me and Bill Pakoda to be the utility infielder. And I still couldn't throw after my surgery. I didn't make the team. Spent the year in Omaha and never got back because of the arm issues. But, you know, I do remember when the College World Series came around, we went on the road for 2 straight weeks because of the College World Series. So you packed up and you were a road dog for 2 weeks. So that was different. We didn't have to, you know, deal with that with any other park.
All right, Carmen has looked up Rocker, drafted out of high school in 2018.
Okay.
38th round by Colorado, but he was going to Vanderbilt, so they drafted, obviously he had told everyone that he was going. And now he is at Vanderbilt, so this would have been, I guess, 2018. This is his first year, I guess, right? Playing at Vanderbilt.
Now. Well, it sounds like he has a bright future if he's already been drafted once and he's doing that at the college level. So we'll see what happens.
All right, Mount Rushmore. I love these Mount Rushmore things. I really do. You know, obviously you're picking 4 players, defensive players. Where do you go? Maybe we'll go one at a time. I'll give
All
you
right.
mine.
Well, I'll start at first base. And there's been a lot of great defensive first basemen. Two names come to mind. I got to give the guy I had here some love, and JT Snow, because I get to watch him on a daily basis on how good he was, you know, catching the ball. I mean, he had hands, you know, he had hands like Omar Vizquel. I mean, you just didn't miss the baseball. But there was a lot of competition at that position. And the other guy that I'll probably edge him out that I saw play was Keith Hernandez. And, you know, Keith Hernandez did some things that were special over there. He was real aggressive on the bunts, one of the first guys to get down there, get the lead runners. And I think this guy probably has won more gold gloves. You can fact check this. I don't know, than JT, quite a bit more. And JT was a tremendous fielder. So those are my two guys at first base, going with Keith.
Very good. Yeah. No, I'm with you. JT was my pick.
Was he? And good. Perfect.
The way I said it was he's a shortstop playing first base.
Absolutely.
Every night this guy did something.
Yep.
And the best I've seen, and Hernandez would have been my second pick for the aggressiveness. He would charge that bunt. He'd be right in the batter's face.
Yeah, no, that's a big deal. Yeah.
All right, go ahead, give me another one.
You want more? Well, yeah. Let's move to shortstop.
Okay.
Okay, we'll go to shortstop. We'll bounce around to shortstop, and you know, the two guys that come to mind. Again, I'm going to go with the guy that was here and is at the top of the list, and that's Omar Vizquel. I've never saw better hands in a player. I mean, JT had great hands. Omar's were better than his. He did things on the baseball field so nonchalant. You know, the hands were so good. He looked like he never had a bad hop. Any in-between or bad hop he got, the ball went in his glove, and it was simply amazing. You remember the way he'd catch the ball, the pop-up. He'd knock his hat off, and he'd run straight out to the outfield. He'd knock his hat off so the lid wouldn't block his vision, turn his head back and catch it. Willie Mays style over his shoulder. But I'm going to edge him out for the simple fact when I saw this guy play, I was a lot more impressionable, and I didn't see him as much as I saw Omar because he played for us. But I'm going to go with the Wizard and Ozzie Smith because he was so unique. And the first time I saw him take the field doing backflips and then watch him make diving plays and the things that he did, he was so unique above and beyond any other fielder in the game. Now, I will say, both those guys, as good as they were, you know, Ozzie didn't have a great arm. And there are certain plays he couldn't make from the hole, but you can't deny just the wizardry that he showed on the baseball field. So I'm going to go with Ozzie.
Very good. I'm gonna go back. Now, I had to see him play. Now, I'm older than you, so I did see him play.
Yes, you are, Marty.
And yes, I am. Not by much, but Louis Aparicio.
Okay.
And this is what sticks in my mind for Louis Aparicio. And I was in Miami, and of course, in those days, the Orioles trained in Miami, and he was with the Orioles in the mid-60s. And I got to go early, and I would go and watch the workouts and all that stuff. And I saw him play short, and I had never seen a shortstop like this guy. His hands never moved. They never moved. They were always in perfect position to catch the ball.
Yeah.
And to this day, I can see him in Miami Stadium at shortstop. And to me, he was the best because that he was a rock. They never moved.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, and again, I don't know his UZR rating and all the other crazy stuff they do. But that's my guy, Louis Aparicio.
That's a great pick, obviously. You know, it's interesting to see if you could measure, you know, the guys from, you know, years gone by with the guys today, if they were able to measure that. But, you know, how they stack up, you know, to the players today. You wish you could put them side by side and hit them ground balls. I do. You know, put them out here now in this time, hit them ground balls and see who was the best.
Well, you've seen the best. You've coached the best. So that's
We've had some very good ones here. There's no question about it.
All right, let's go to the outfield. Now, you had to see him play.
Oh, I had to go to the outfield. I thought I was going four in the infield.
No, we're going to go to the outfield.
Oh, shoot.
All right, I'll go first.
You go first. Right, Give me time to think on this.
I'll go first. All right. The best, I guess, I ever saw, and I'm not Jim Edmonds. I thought he was an actor, you know, with all his diving stuff like that. I'm going to go with Devon White. And when he played for Toronto and the Angels, this guy, everything in center field. I don't care which way it went, over the wall, whatever it was. I'm picking him. Griffey sort of is my second pick.
Okay.
The people I saw, Mays I saw, but I never saw him do anything in the outfield.
Okay.
I only saw him play one game live.
Right.
So I'm sticking with Devon White.
Well, that's a great pick. I came up when Devon did. We played against each other in AAA. I saw him in the major leagues for years when I was coaching. He could do it all. Boy, he really could run the ball down. He did it so easy. So that's a tremendous pick. You know, this is a little more difficult for me because I haven't given it a whole lot of thought. But I'll just go off the cusp of a guy I watched when I was a kid or teenager growing up, and it was my favorite team growing up in New England. It was the Red Sox. And they had two guys. Obviously, Dwight Evans and his arm was something to watch. But I'll say Freddie Lynn played a tremendous outfield. He really did. Now, he didn't have the great speed as Devon White and a lot of these other players or the tremendous throwing arm. But I just remember him diving all over the field. And, and maybe it was just I was so impressionable when I was a kid. So I'm going to go with him for today's show.
Ah, very good. Rookie of the year and MVP, I think, in the first year in the big league. Yeah. Freddie Lynn. Good pick, as they like to say.
Okay, good pick. I'm happy to
All right, we got one more. The pitcher.
Oh, the pitcher.
The best fielding pitcher. And I'll go first on this one.
Okay.
I think the best fielding pitcher I ever saw was Maddox. Was Greg Maddox. I just think he was the best I ever saw. Now, if I want to go way back – Jim Cott.
Yeah.
Jim Cott was unbelievable. Everything that came back to the mound, this guy caught, great arm.
Yeah.
But Maddox was a little more of an athlete. But so I'll go Maddox, but Jim Cott's a close second.
You know what? Those are two great names. You know, I want to go Big Daddy Rick Rushel, but I can't do that because he was such a good athlete, you know. But, no, I have to agree with you. My pick is Greg Maddox as well. You know, I didn't see Kitty Cott. We played one spring together with the Pirates, but, you know, he was at the end of his career at that point in time. But Greg Maddox is just unbelievable. I mean, he was like a hockey goalie on the mound. And when he caught the ball and he had to throw the ball the second to start the double play, the throw was always on the money. He didn't throw a sinker either. He threw a nice straight ball to second base. So I'm with you. I agree. Greg Maddox is at the top of the list of the players that I've seen on the mound that can really pick it.
And now you look at him, he looks like the professor. He looks like you.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't.
He looks like a professor.
Yeah, he does. He wears the glasses, and he's still involved in baseball. It's good to see. He was a great player.
Boy, what a day. I enjoyed the conversation. This is good. We're going to do more of this Thursday.
Okay,
up
good.
At Priest Ranch Tasting Room up in Yountville. So, well, you got Bumgarner and Buehler today, Giants, Dodgers. Well, there's something about it. I know you got to run in very quickly. There's just something about these teams when they go at each other. The buzz, the grind it out. There's just, you can play all these other games, but they're different Giant Dodgers.
Absolutely. Well, you know, usually you're fighting for the division, and they're in your division, and you have to beat the teams in your division. And there's been a lot of years we've been 1-2, 1-2, and that's what baseball's all about. And it hasn't changed, right? It's still the Dodgers, and despite we want to get back to in position to make these meaningful games later on in the year. But you're exactly right. The energy and the fans bring it, too. Let's face it. I mean, the ballpark electric. Friday night was electric. It was great to see. And, you know, guys do feed off their energy. So hopefully we'll have another well-played game today, and the Giants will come out on top.
Well, pitching's the deal.
Yeah.
You got the right pitcher today. Against this team, lefties do slow them down. You can't eliminate them, but you can slow them down a little bit. And the kid on the other side, Buehler, first time you saw him, he was throwing a lot of breaking stuff. And I don't know, he got him out of there in about the fifth inning. So we'll see what he does today.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thank you, and good conversation. I'm on my game today.
You are on your game, Marty. And one of these mornings, I want to talk about your ability to pitch softball games.
All right.
Because I hear there's a lot of good things that you have to say and have accomplished as a softball pitcher. So we want to hear. Maybe we'll do that on Thursday.
All right, I like it. I was the ringer for the San Francisco Sheriff's Department. All right, Carmen said enough. All right, that's it. All right, well, take care. Have
you
a good
too.
Day today.
Good seeing you.
All right, more coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.